It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Tank Dale, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. I'm also joined by the Trash Man, and it's good to have the full crew back in, the three box in, after being gone on vacation and stuff. But it's time to lock back in, man. We got a bunch of football on the way, training camp starting up. We're getting our credentials in for those, trying to get our routing going for the Roster Watch training camp tour. Cody and I heading to Atlanta early next week, where we'll have shows for you from SEC Media Days. So just a whole lot to get to. Before we do, though, we just got an update to version 1.3 of the PPR cheat sheet, the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com, where if you follow the three simple rules, an expert quality draft is always guaranteed. You can scan the QR code if you're watching on YouTube to join up and get a pro membership. And if you're listening on podcasts, remember, that's the best way to support us. It's how we keep the lights on, is by our pro and premium memberships over at rosterwatch.com. One of the things you can get is the strength of schedule tools. We've talked about the wide receiver strength of schedule. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about running back strength of schedule. And if you go over to the website over the course of the weekend, I'm almost done with tight end. After I get that finished, I can get quarterback done. So both of those will be done by the time we leave for Atlanta. Boys, as I'm looking at the running back strength of schedule, a couple of things kind of pop off to me. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. But first, I want to give the kind of overview here in case you don't know about these tools. What it is this does not look at fantasy points allowed by these units last season. If we did that, that would be worthless because, as we all know, free agency happens, players change from team to team, coaches change from team to team, schemes change, situations change as far as implied team totals over the course of the season, number of dome games, different environments, just a number of factors that this takes into account. Very little is taken into account as far as adjusted fantasy points allowed from last season. And what is only from the last 10 games of last season, but it's only like a 20% input, right? This is all based on our knowledge of what's happening here with these teams at the very, very, very micro levels. And so with that being said, Trash Man, anything stick out to you as far as running back strength of schedule?
I mean, it could be a banner year for Christian McCaffrey. San Francisco arguably has the best strength of schedule for running backs, throughout the season. And, we just hear this latest news out of, Kyle Juszczyk saying Christian McCaffrey looks healthy and so explosive ahead of training camp. You combine those things, a great strength of schedule, Christian McCaffrey looking like his old self, and potentially Brandon Ayuk not being able to start the season. And it looks we're having fewer and fewer reasons to fade Christian McCaffrey.
That is famous last words.
I'm notoriously famous for fading Christian McCaffrey based on his injury woes, but it just seems like, if you're looking to get a leg up on the competition, perhaps earlier, maybe going Christian McCaffrey to start, and having that explosiveness to start the season is a boom.
San Francisco is implied for the seventh most average points per game this season at 24.88. The only teams implied for more points per game than San Francisco this year are the Eagles, the Chiefs, kind of surprisingly the Commanders, the Lions, the Ravens, and the Bills. So San Francisco there in that top seven. So as far as scoring environments, it's going to be good. We know that, you know, they were pretty comfortable moving on from guys like Jordan Mason and Elijah Mitchell. I'm with Trash Man. I think we're starting to see the price of poker go up a little bit, Cody, with Christian McCaffrey. Some sites going as high. We just did the ADP update. So on Underdog, he's going at 8 overall. On ESPN, he's going at 8 overall. FFPC 10 overall. Yahoo 14. So basically, you know, his average draft position is exactly what we've been seeing and exactly kind of where we have him priced in on the ultimate draft cheat sheet right now. Is it the 1-2 turn? I think we could see that elevate as high as I think by the time the season kicks off, I'm going to stay with this. I think he's going to be going at like the 108.
Yuck.
Well, I just feel like that. I feel like there's a group of six guys at the very top, three running backs, three wide receivers, and whatever order you put them in, with, you know, Bijan, Saquon, Gibbs, and Chase, Jefferson, Lamb, right? And then after that, I just think people are going to be like, man, am I really going to take Puka Nacua whenever they just had Devontae Adams come in? What's going on with Malik Nabers and his quarterback situation? Amon-Ra St. Brown, what, the whole new offensive system, no more Ben Johnson. Then you're like, am I really going to take Ashton Jeanty, a guy on a bad football team? Even though the Raiders' strength of schedule via our metrics isn't bad either. It's just they're just not going to be applied for as many winning game scripts. I think people are going to be like, am I really taking Nico Collins or somebody like this over Christian McCaffrey? I think it makes sense to me that around the 108, the 109 is where he's going to settle in.
I honestly think you're probably right. Scott Fishbowl scoring is obviously way completely different, but he went 110 in that league, and that's a super flex league with a quarterback going in front of him and a tight end going in front of him in Bowers and Allen. So you take those two away, he's right there at 8, technically, if you just law of, you know, subtraction. People are going to love him. People are going to hate him. I'm probably going to be on the side where I just sit here and I'll either have egg on my face or I'll be fine, just like I was last year taking Bijan at the 101 over him. I have a very hard time. I'm usually pretty good about staying Bayesian through the whole process and taking new information with what it is. But sometimes, and usually every single year, there's a couple of guys, you know, dating back to Devonta Smith and guys like this, Devonta Freeman, where I'm just like, I'm not going to play this game anymore. He's been prolific. He's gotten hurt, and I'm going to be out on it. I'm going to be out on it probably through the rest of time, just because I don't, unless there's value there, which there's not for me. Like we've said for the last 2 months, or I've said at least for this, if there was value for McCaffrey, to me, it would be the 2-3 turn. And at that point, I would feel good about not pushing my chips in on a first round pick. I mean, you're in the Lamb, the Nacua, the Barkley, the Jacobs, the Taylor area. I'm just not there this year. I just can't do it. I won't do it with McCaffrey.
So if McCaffrey did end up being RB1, RB2,
I'll eat the egg on my face.
Would that not be value?
It would be value, but egg on my face. I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to be taken as either the running back 4 or the running back 5. That just is what it is. Unless you have somebody who comes in and they're just after the Jonnu Smith trade, they're just super bullish on like Devon Achane or something like that. Or if it's some super, super weird homer league where like somebody takes Derrick Henry, but I don't foresee it happening. He's going to be running back 4, running back 5, and he's going to go around the 108 to the 110. And that's where he's going to settle in.
From a structure standpoint, I think I'm leaning more this year, you know, at least early on. If I'm not in like position to take a Robinson or a Jeanty, I'm much more in like the zero RB for the first 3-4 rounds, because if you look at the strength of schedule tool over at Roster Watch, another name that pops up here at the top, just like 2024, is Carolina and Chuba Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard last year in the first 5 weeks of the season, they had last year had the number 2 strength of schedule, did the Carolina Panthers. The first 5 weeks of the season, he was running back 7. On the season, Chuba Hubbard was running back 12. 9 out of 16 games last year, Chuba Hubbard had four or more receptions, which I just realized. I think when you look at what the Panthers have right now with this 2025 strength of schedule, with the fast start, they had the
beautiful
best
start. It's a beautiful start to it's the fat. He gets off to the, you know, he'll get off to the fastest start as far as his, as far as this thing being front loaded with very, very easy. I mean, as far as the first 4 weeks, he goes at Jacksonville, at Arizona. Those are both in our top eight matchups for opposing running backs. Then he gets Atlanta at home. He gets at New England, which New England's one of these ones I'm a little bit torn on. I'm not sure. You know, we have them basically as number 12, but that's still technically kind of a relatively easy one. A top 12 matchup in Atlanta and in New England. So the first four are two top eight matchups and two top 12 matchups. He gets Miami after that, which somehow is showing up as a tough matchup for opposing runners. But then two top 12 matchups after that in the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Jets. So basically out of the first 7 weeks, only one tough matchup, two top eight matchups, four top 12 matchups for Chuba Hubbard. And it's the kind of thing where, I mean, it gets a little bit tougher down the stretch, but if he has that kind of start, you could probably go ahead and trade him off. If you're worried about the playoff stretch where he does face Tampa Bay and Seattle in week 16 and 17, who we have both as bottom 12 matchups for opposing running backs.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that another kind of mid-round guy who's going around, you know, you and I actually talked about this dude specifically as it related to the James Cooks of the world, the Chuba Hubbards of the world, these types of players, and that's Joe Mixon. And I look at his start to the season, and I noticed, you know, out of his first five games, so he has one game in Jacksonville in week three that's a legit top eight matchup for sure. That could be number one, right? But then it's got this one in Tennessee, and that's one that I'm a little bit worried about because we actually have super high scouting grades on Tavondre Sweat and on Jeffrey Simmons. With that being said, if you look at the surrounding cast and the line, they have some of the worst tackling linebackers. They were terrible against the run last year, even when both those guys were healthy. They're probably going to be a team that, you know, the Titans, I hate to say it, maybe they'll be really good this year, but they're probably going to be a team that's going to be playing from behind that gives the opposing team more of a running game script. And all those things come into consideration. Like, we have them as a very good matchup for opposing runners. I'm a little bit worried about that one though. I think that they might be a little bit better than we have them initially pegged. With that being said, other than those two out of the top five, at the Rams versus Tampa Bay and at Baltimore, then they have a bye. Then they go at Seattle, which is bottom 12. Then they have San Francisco and then they have Denver. I mean, that's a brutal start to the season for Joe Mixon, who's still walking around in a boot during OTAs, who's lost a lot of his burst, who's playing. And as I look at these offensive lines, Cody, I just don't want Joe Mixon playing behind it. I was running simulations using the cheat sheet, and I was just saying to myself, man, I'm getting Joe Mixon here in the fourth round, sometimes at the end of the fourth round, and I don't want him. I don't want him. I felt like if I ran a draft from every single spot and I ran 12 of them, just doing manual simulations, and I got him twice over the course of 12 drafts, I'd be like, man, that feels like too much Joe Mixon to me. And one of the reasons why is just this: it's a middling strength of schedule in the whole entire season, but just his start for the first 8 weeks, I feel like you're gonna have an asset on your hands that even if he starts turning the corner, you're gonna have to hold on to him because I don't think he's going to accrue much value over the, you know, over the first half of the fantasy football season.
I think that team's going to stink, period. I just don't think Houston's going to be good on the offensive line. And I thought Mixon was done last year. I thought that, remember, he was in the draft class with Dalvin Cook and with Kamara and McCaffrey. And I thought that he was going to be just on the, like a year after Dalvin Cook and drop off last year. Injuries, bad offensive line play. Stroud's going to have to be throwing the ball a lot. I'm not sure how many games they're really going to be up in. Like, I love Nico. Sure. Like, yeah. After that, I'm kind of worried about that team. So I'm not
worried about them. That's basically because the rest of their, you know, division isn't that strong. I don't feel like they have somebody else in that another team in that division that's just going to like run away with it.
Trash me. They played in the same division last year, and the offensive line was brutal for them. And they, like, CJ Stroud took a major step back, and an offensive coordinator got fired.
I think the Jags can pretty easily win that division this year.
I mean, the Texans have upped their – I mean, their receiving core is more stout, is deeper than it was last season. I mean, they've gotten a little more help. I mean, I think they'll be fine.
I think that you're wish casting. I just worry so much about the offense. I think the defense will be good.
Well, and the thing is, Joe Mixon's more versatile than people give him credit for too. So I feel like he's gonna get touches, no matter what. And yeah, he's not a player I'm shying away from.
Okay, well then, so trash man, Joe, rate these guys: James Conner, Chuba Hubbard, Joe Mixon,
for the length of the season. Yes,
for fantasy football. Where we are all professional analysts.
Well, no, I mean, what we were talking about? Are we talking about the first four games? Are we talking about the entire season? Like, what are we talking about?
We're talking about which guy you'd rather have on your fantasy football team that's going to help you win a fantasy football championship in 2025.
For me, all things considered, it's probably Connor. And then Mixon, then Hubbard, just because Hubbard has the least job security of any of those guys.
Yeah. Hubbard got a pretty big deal. I think if you factor in like chance of injury and stuff like that, I don't know. That could be true, but I'm just not worried about Rico Dowdle taking Chuba Hubbard's job after they just gave him a big contract extension last year, even after drafting Jonathan Brooks and not knowing that Jonathan Brooks was going to be hurt this whole season.
You have Etienne back there too, who, you know,
but he's a different kind of, you know, he's
yeah,
he's
but more, I mean, but we're just talking about touches, you know, and just the offense. I mean, if we're talking about offenses not being as good, I mean, I still think CJ Stroud's a better quarterback than Bryce Young.
No, well, I think that's fair enough. And, yeah, but just, you know, Carolina, we just talked about their strength of schedule. Arizona's got a really good strength of schedule too. The other thing about Arizona is not just it's the eighth best strength of schedule, but it's also surprisingly their top half of the league. The Cardinals are in average implied team total per game, and just as far as the game environments for Connor, you only have 1, 2, 3, 4 games outside. next
I mean, year. Connor too was a guy that we were talking about several years ago being washed up, you know.
keeps on proving us wrong, you know.
He does, you know, as a modern day Frank Gore.
What do you guys make out of this whole thing about New Orleans having this super good strength of schedule for running backs? And that's even with the deductions and the docs that I put in there for the fact, I mean, there's like a whole lot of this is based on projected game scripts and stuff. And so it's in there that, like, we think they're going to be basically the worst team, right? But even with that being the case, it's like the actual, like, personnel and all the rest that they're facing and the situations they're facing are still bad enough to where, even despite that major doc that we give for game script, New Orleans is still showing up as one of the top five opposing strength of schedule for running backs. Like, it's just had me thinking a lot about whether I prefer Alvin Kamara or Ken Walker in that same range.
I think you got to – I mean, Kamara told us last year, so they were number four last year in strength of schedule, and they're up there again this year. And last year, through the first 5 weeks, Kamara was running back one. Through the first 9 weeks, Kamara was running back two, just behind Derrick Henry by a touch. As much as, like, that team's, like, again, also stinks, like, I would write that team up as a probably going to be a top five conversation for the NFL draft next year. What do you do with a young quarterback? Get the ball out early. Who's going to be his best friend? Alvin Kamara. Who else is going to be his best friend? Probably Olave and maybe Juwan Johnson. Like, he's really consolidated targets there. And the one thing we know about Kamara in his career, you're probably going to see 80 targets. So yeah. Just think from a PPR standpoint, Kamara, where's he at? Where's he at right now? Is he in the 30? Where'd he go?
Let's see. So
44 overall consensus, running back 16. A low of 39, 57 on Underdog, 45. What are we talking about? I love that. I love that.
Fourth or fifth round, Alvin Kamara. I mean, you could say the team's going to stink all day long, but I mean, four, you know, that's. No,
if you're going for a zero running back approach, which I probably am going to for a lot of drafts, I think Kamara is kind of my sweet spot, in hoping that, you know, I can take him with as my first running back.